So good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, sir.
So thank you for coming this afternoon. Now I guess it's almost afternoon. So we'll get started. I think the way we'll structure it is, we'll make a short deck, 7-8 slides, just run through it quickly, and then we'll open it for Q&A. But before we do that, I think you all know, I'm Ramesh Ramadurai, and I think all of you probably know, or if not, I'll be retiring end of this month. So Aseem is my successor. So Aseem came on board in October of 2025, and we've been in transition for the last few months. So and Nikhil Arora is our CFO. Nikhil, some of you may have met in the past. He's been with us for almost a year now. He joined in May of 2025. So I'll turn it over to Aseem to run us through the deck, and then we'll get into the Q&A directly after that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ramesh, and good afternoon all. As Ramesh mentioned, I'm Aseem Joshi, joined October last year. So I have the benefit of 5 months. So Nikhil and I'll be leading it, but of course, it's good to have Ramesh here who can contribute, right? So let's start with the slides. Obviously, the safe harbor statement, and of this, I think our company secretary has uploaded this, so you will have access to this. You would have read it. Next page. I'll go through these agenda items. I'll go quickly through 3M Global. I think all of you will have context for 3M globally, but just a couple of slides on that, and then we'll spend bulk of our time on items 2 and 3, and then really move into Q&A after that. So 3M, I think many of us know 3M. I think a lot of us know 3M from the consumer side of the house. But this picture really tells you about who we are and how our business breaks up. So 3M, now 123 years old, so a lot of history, a lot of legacy. And we started off as a material science company. We proudly remain a material science company. That's really our core. So we work with materials, and then we have a lot of applications that those materials have. There's storied history around things like some of these brands being created. Post-its is a famous one where the material was there and in need of an application. Right? I think some of you may be aware of that. But we have a lot of great brands. So Scotch, 3M itself, Filtrete, Scotch-Brite, Post-it, Command, Peltor, all of those. The business today breaks up globally into 3 business groups: safety and industrial, which is really going into a lot of industrial applications, although there is a small sort of retail component of it as well. Then transportation and electronics at 8.3 billion, which is mostly focused on automotive, aerospace, and then also electronics kind of applications. And then the consumer business group, as you're aware of. As you can see, the breakup globally, SIBG, the Safety and Industrial Business Group, is our biggest, transportation, electronics next, and then consumer. Broadly in India, we have a similar breakup. You'll see it in subsequent slides, where SIBG, TEBG are our biggest businesses, and consumer is our smallest. And then, of course, in India, we still have the healthcare business, which is about 20% of our business. But we'll talk about that. Next page. Globally, we have identified our priority verticals that we go after. Many of them are represented in India as well, and they're big drivers of our growth. So for instance, automotive, which is in the middle on the top segment, that is a significant driver for us. It represents 20-30% of our business roughly is from that, is driven by automotive, either directly or indirectly. OEM, aftermarket, and as well as roads and things like that, right? But we're seeing growth in some of these other verticals as well. Energy, so due to electrification across the country. Electronics, data centers is sunrise verticals for us. There's a lot of interest in this, and we're seeing good traction. But also more sort of traditional day-to-day stuff around home improvement, home cleaning, just pure industrial automation, safety. All of these are verticals that are relevant in India and are helping drive our growth in India, right? So point of this slide is we have global priority verticals. Most of those are very relevant for India. And so those products and those kind of playbooks are also deployed in India. Next. If you come to India itself, we were incorporated in 1987, and we've been listed since 1991. I think many of you will be aware of that. So quite a long history for India as well. Three manufacturing facilities in the first one, and again there's a slide for it, but in Electronic City, Bangalore, in Ranjangaon, Pune, and in Ahmedabad. And then the latest one, two customer technical centers. We have, of course, in Bangalore, the picture on the right is the one, CTC from Bangalore. But just yesterday, Ramesh and I were in Delhi, where we inaugurated our new CTC in Delhi, in Gurgaon, sorry, not Delhi, but NCR area. We felt it was important to have a strong presence in the NCR area. Obviously, a lot of businesses are there. We used to have one, but after COVID, it had sort of dialed down, so we've recreated it, right? So this is an important aspect for us. Again, we'll talk a little bit about how these CTCs, as we call them, help 3M push the brand and grow our business in India, right? 4,446 crores last financial year. I think the first three quarters you would have all seen has grown well, 13.6%. So we're hoping to close the year strong and at a nice round number to beat. 1,255 employees in India and growing. We have been investing in our engineering capability, our sales capability, also our manufacturing capability. So again, we'll talk a little bit more about that in subsequent slides. Next, please. So this page gives you the breakup of our business in India now. The prior page was global, this is India. Four business groups, the same TEBG, safety and industrial, healthcare and consumer. As I mentioned, globally, safety and industrial and transportation are two biggest. Here too, these are two biggest. And consumer is our smallest. And then, like I said, healthcare we have in India. As far as our revenue growth and PBT trend is concerned on the right, you know, it really is a story of before COVID and after COVID. 5% growth before COVID, 10% growth after COVID. And in the last couple of years, accelerating, you know, in the teens, right, the growth. So it's been... I think as I've come into 3M and I see our old strategy decks, I can see the benefit of those strategies being executed and you convert into results both from a growth perspective and also, you know, we've maintained healthy profitability alongside. Next page. So what have those strategies been? We've sort of summarized it on one page. There's four-pronged strategy. The first around commercial excellence. This is basically the nuts and bolts of making sure your sales engine is working well. This is something that we've been working on for the last 2 or 3 years, and you know, we believe it's a large part of, you know, what has helped us grow in the last couple of years, grow well in the last couple of years. Salesforce discipline, reach to customers, smart channel strategies, things like that. But to back it up, we need to have strong NPI pipeline and local R&D capability. So I talked about that CTC earlier in Gurgaon that we inaugurated, and of course the bigger one in Bangalore. These are areas where we are innovating new products, new technologies that will go into India-specific applications. And I'll give you a couple of examples after this of how that works. We're also strengthening our engineering capability in India, our product development capability in India. You know, we were mostly application engineering focused, but we are now looking at, you know, how do we continue to grow basic product development also in India. At the same time, the local supply chain becomes important. We have about 60% of the products we sell in India have local content, you know, roughly. It varies year to year, but think of it as 60-40. As we grow, we think that's an area that we have to continue to focus on improving. And so figuring out how do we make more things locally, both in-house as well as outsourced, is an important aspect of what we're doing. Again, I'll talk a little bit more about that in subsequent pages. And then the last one, underpinning all of this growth, talent and organizations, obviously important, as well as culture change. So there is a lot of work going on in the company around talent development, cultural aspects, which focuses us more on innovation and growth. And again, you'll see the benefits of that in time to come. So next page. So I'll talk a little bit about each of these three strategies. Commercial excellence, right? I talked about sales excellence. A couple of examples. We have the automotive aftermarket business, which helps owners of cars, particularly, you know, with maintaining it. This is auto detailing, right? We created this category in India. And the way we have sort of built that category, And now there's of course a lot of competition that's coming in, but 3M is recognized as the pioneer and the market leader to this day in this space. Right. So this has all come because of the commercial excellence approach that we took to creating and then maintaining our leadership in that category. Similarly, in our consumer business, the scrubbing portfolio, this is an area that very mundane, very, something that our every kitchen will have. But how we have sort of created the portfolio and then innovated, right, with the Silver Spark portfolio, then Scrub Dots, and then you'll see a lot more innovation continuing to happen, even in a portfolio as simple as that, right? Similar concepts would apply to many other portfolios. These are just two examples. At the same time, we also really focus on getting spec-in right, be it in automotive, be it in project businesses like airports, or also in things like, knee joints. It's really important to get 3M spec'd in so that the customer then continues to use it for the life of that platform. And this is where our application engineering expertise, our CTCs that I mentioned, come in, because that's where a lot of the innovation happens, a lot of the proving happens to customers, saying how is 3M's product different from, a competitor product. This oftentimes on paper, a customer may be confused because 3M has certain capabilities that we demonstrate, but so do our competitors, right? And we are able to bring them into this, actually demonstrate how 3M actually works better. Right, so specification excellence, as we call it, is really important, right? Because this is, you can call it technical selling, right? That's really what this is about. But I think this is an area that we're focused on, and we'll continue to do that. Because ultimately, a company like 3M wins if our product benefits are understood by the customer. Next page. Strengthening local R&D. I mentioned this earlier. We recognize that India will always have its own unique needs. And while we can and should bring global products to bear, we will have to do local modifications, adjustments, tailoring to meet local unique Indian requirements, right? So our engineering center in Electronic City in Bangalore is where most of this happens. Our Gurgaon facility will also help. We actually have some capability in Pune as well to do local development, right? There are centers of excellence that we have focused on in India that serve the world. I've highlighted three of them around pavement markings, acoustics, emissions. These are three very disparate application areas, but these are areas where we've really done well in India to differentiate, and then these have become centers of excellence for the world. So I'll give you an example to make it real. Some of you may be aware, so please bear with me. You have these road pavement markers, the cat eyes, when you're driving on the road, the thing that reflects right at night, right? And these, originally we would import them from the Americas. And then we realized that in India, people drive differently from the West. In India, people drive on the RPM. In the West, they drive along the RPM. So in India, it has to be capable of taking that load, right? And that abuse, if you will, right? And so we actually innovated in terms of the material of construction, the way it is embedded, the way the reflectivity is maintained for Indian conditions, right? And so it's become India is actually where we excel, and now we're taking it from India to the rest of the world, right? This is just an example of how we took a global product, made it fit for local use, and now it's being exported. And similar concept for acoustics and some of the other areas. I talked about the infrastructure, right? I talked about Bangalore, I talked about Delhi, and we also have a digital AE studio, application engineering studio, in Bangalore, which helps us really do that technical spec-in, which we think is critical and is a differentiator relative to many of our competitors. Next page. Okay, now local manufacturing and supply chain. As I mentioned, we have three factories, Electronic City, Ahmedabad, and Ranjangaon, in chronological order. Electronic City, we were there before Infi or any of the IT guys came in and set up their offices, right? It's actually a factory, and it's running well since 1990s. It's a center of excellence for acoustic materials. We actually make our earplug cording there. and various other sort of coating and mixing and converting applications, right? Ahmedabad is really more focused on our electrical products. They make materials for pipe coating and certain other specific applications. It's a much smaller factory, but it's been open since 2004. And then Ranjangaon in outside Pune, I can't say it's in Pune because it's 2.5 years away, but this is our largest site since 2008. This does a lot of, supports a lot of our businesses across transportation, electronics, healthcare, consumer, as well as safety, and actually all four of our businesses with a bunch of our technologies, right? So it is our biggest site. And we are planning to expand there. So the last picture on the right, the fourth picture, shows where we intend to put up another shed. It'll be about the size as the first one that you see in the picture. It's something that we see as important to support our growth in the next 3 to 4 years. Right? So that is currently underway. The planning and sort of civil activities are underway. In addition to that, this is all in-house, but we also recognize out-house or outsourced manufacturing is an important leg of our journey. Working with our converter partners, working with some raw material suppliers in India as well becomes very important. So last year we created a team of basically supply chain folks who are focused on sourcing from India, be it finished products, be it raw materials, be it conversion partners, right? And we expect that to really help us make inroads into some critical areas where we think we can get, we call it best cost country sourcing, not lowest cost, but best cost, because it has to adhere to all the other parameters that 3M demands as well, right? So to summarize, work on expanding our in-house capability, at the same time, work on expanding our sort of outsource capability is underway. Right. So that sort of covers the high level our strategy for 3M India. I'll just quickly touch on the 3M India board. We have a 8-member board currently. Ramesh, as he mentioned, will be transitioning out at the end of the month, and I'll be taking over as the managing director from 1st of April. We have Mr. Ranganath, who joined us at the beginning of this year. He's an ex-Infosys CFO and currently runs Catamaran Ventures. And then, around the middle of the year, Chair Radhika Rajan will be retiring by rotation, and we will be looking to onboard another director, right? So the board will evolve slightly by the end of the year. And I think that's it, right? What's the next page? Yeah, and that's it. So we just wanted to level set and give you a flavor for where we're headed, where we come from, and I think let's open it up for questions. If you can just raise your hand, and then I think we can go from there.
In terms of, if I can start.
Please.
In terms of responsibility and what have, because this is the first time we've seen an external guy become a CEO of 3M, if I may. And we've seen global, lot of focus on innovation. We get global CEO and also interact with the global IR team. Wherein we got to know that there's a lot of focus on R&D, on research, on new innovation and new pipeline. So can you tell me what's the mandate you have been assigned as a CEO for this? Is there a good focus on growth going forward, given what's happening in the PLI space in India and the industrial space in India? What's the next 5-year target which you have been assigned, and what's coming from global in terms of focus on Indian market?
So clearly the mandate is growth. I think if you're in India, the expectation is that we grow. There's a recognition that while we have a significant presence in India, we could do a lot more. So the objective is to figure out how to, I touched on it a little bit in the strategy, but how do you meet the Indian requirements, whatever the parameters might be, in a more effective manner, so that fuels growth for 3M in India. In order to do so, as I mentioned, commercial excellence, localization, NPIs are the three major levers for us. We think of, and this is a global statement, I think our CEO is on record saying, look, we need to be more innovative, right? We have historically been very innovative, but we need to drive that engine a lot harder. And to that end, you see the investments in India as well, in facilities, in people, and in the focus. Right? So the mandate really is to drive all three of these levers to grow.
In terms of import component is still high. Any focus on accelerating the manufacturing in India?
Yeah, so that was part of what I was covering. So we will have that expansion. I mean, it's a pretty big expansion. Basically, we have two sheds, there'll be a third shed in Ranjangaon. And Ranjangaon is by far our biggest factory. As well as I mentioned, outsourced manufacturing for certain products where IP may not be as important. So that stuff will certainly happen. Today, you know, about 60% of the products we sell, roughly, it varies, of course, from period to period, but about 60% of what we sell has local content. But it's not 100% local. This local value add portion can increase, right? So that is clearly the emphasis. I think also given sort of geopolitics and, you know, the way it's headed, it just underlines the importance of that for a company like 3M. So it is certainly an area of focus for us, and therefore it's one of the three strategies that we're driving.
You spoke about Salesforce discipline, culture change. So your thoughts around how has your sales organization shifted given the change in the complexity of the products over the last few years? New areas you entered. So, 155 employees, so roughly how many are in sales, R&D, manufacturing, or the admin function, which is more of a cost center? Any changes over the last 3 years in this composition?
Yeah.
And how are they linked to outcomes? And the second question is, what are the top 4 or 5 competitors you see in the marketplace? You know, because very few listed peers on a pure comparative basis. So who do you lose business to, and who do you want to?
We win business from. Who do we win business from, right?
Yeah.
No, just jokes about it. So yeah, let me address the first question. Look, you know, 3M's been expanding in the last 12 to 18 months. I forget the exact number of people we've added, but we've added across sales, across R&D, and actually in manufacturing as well. Now we're adding it as we expand. The sales force, you know, the sales excellence aspect, there's a little bit of reach and sort of sales expansion, but it really is focused on productivity and effectiveness, right? And that's, I think, the smart way to go about it. So it's ensuring that we have very clear, it's the nuts and bolts of Salesforce excellence. So a lot of the playbooks that consultants will talk about, I mean, it's really what we've executed. And that's, I believe, a large part of what has yielded the results in the last 3-4 years. With regards to your question on competition, it really varies by business. I mean, honestly, there's no single competitor that I would point to, right? So for instance, if you start from, let's start with the safety and industrial business group there. If you think of abrasives, here you have Norton, Granville Norton, QMI as sort of publicly listed players. There's other, a lot of smaller ones. Sometimes there's Chinese guys as well. If you think of sticking within safety and industrial, if you think of the safety business, right, we call the personal safety division, there you have a whole range of competitors, both global and Indian. Global, you have people like Honeywell. Indian, you have people like Udyogi, Venus, Karam, right? So I can't say there is one competitor, right? Each division has their competitors, and we'll compete vigorously in each of these divisions. So that's sort of how I would. Ramesh, anything?
No, that's fine. Yeah. Covered it. Yeah.
So I have a question on the healthcare division. So globally, healthcare was spun off, and there was some arrangement by which the Indian unit gets to manufacture for the global. So can you just elaborate what's the scope of that arrangement? How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, so healthcare business, you're right, was spun off about a year and a half ago now, globally. In India, we've maintained that business. So essentially, we have agreements on both sides. So we have a supplier agreement for them, where we manufacture and sell in India. But really, it's about, we have exclusive, where they, we represent 3M healthcare products exclusively for Solventum is the name of the spun-off company. for Solventum in India. And that business is, it's a 5-year exclusive agreement. We're pretty early on into that agreement. And that business continues to grow, right? It's a lot of the same people are there, so those relationships already exist. If any, some transitional, you know, when companies transition, sometimes there's some, but that's all behind us. So healthcare business is growing well for us.
So do you sell their products alone, or do you even manufacture for them?
We sell in India. There are some products that are manufactured in India that were manufactured in India. We continue to manufacture those.
Just to clarify, we manufacture for local sale, for local, for re-export.
Okay.
Yeah. So we used to make some products in India. Those continue. Sorry, I'll just come here and
provide some color. I mean, if I look at the growth in three segments, we have been growing at 15%, right? Barring transportation, which is around 9%. So maybe if you could provide more color, what is driving this growth across you know, these three segments?
Sure. So look, I think you know, as we look at it, it's a combination of factors. We think it's our strategy is working. We always like to think that, but we really, I've come in from the outside, as you know, right? And I see the commercial excellence lever that was pulled probably 3 years ago that's bearing fruit. Some of the strategies around where to focus, what to localize and accelerate, I think some of those are bearing fruit. And to be candid, I think the markets, the segments we've chosen or that we are present in, those, you know, that it helps that those markets are also growing. So it's a combination really of factors. But I think our strategies are bearing fruit.
Maybe if you could share some outlook on these segments, you know, some color, how do we look at these segments going ahead?
Yeah, so I'll start with, you know, maybe I'll start with transportation electronics. There, transportation electronics is basically, globally we talk about transportation electronics as automotive, aerospace, electronics, right? Aerospace in India is relatively small, so really auto and electronics, right? So auto, you know what's going on in India. I think that is really, it's a good sign. We have a good representation in that. We have a very good brand presence in most of the OEMs. And so we expect that we'll ride that wave. At the same time, electronics also, we see a lot of investment happening in India. Most of it is in the assembly piece right now. A lot of the component level stuff is still being imported. But there we provide a lot of adhesives, abrasives, etc., which are required when you do the assemblies. So we already get in on that level of localization. Right. So transportation and electronics, I think the markets, you know, who knows where geopolitics drives us, but you know, we have, I think we're pretty well positioned there to ride that. In the safety and industrial business, think of it as the sort of the underlying macros are manufacturing, right? And as we look at getting manufacturing to be a more significant portion of our GDP, you know, naturally that helps 3M. I think that positions us well. Also, as people look for better products, better quality, again, that naturally creates more pull for 3M. I'm giving sort of broad statements because each segment will have its own dynamics, but at the macro level, that's sort of how we see it. In the consumer business, I think this is a particular area of interest. You know, we sort of created some categories. We have leadership position in some categories within consumers, things like scrubbing, etc. But here, we again see an opportunity as people look at home improvement as an area, right? You see what happened in paints, right? Now people care about how their houses look, how their buildings look from outside. I mean, Mumbai is a great example, right? So many more buildings are painted now than were 15 years ago. So similar thing you can see now happening inside. People are focusing on home improvement, and 3M has a pretty broad portfolio around that. So we're figuring out which of that portfolio can be brought in, how can it be localized and made relevant. So I think the macros there are pretty good as well. And then healthcare, you know, I think people are spending a lot more on just taking good care of their health, on surgeries and things like that. So that too, I think the macros should be pretty good for 3M. Yeah.
I think we'll go there and then to him.
Yeah. Please.
This year we have seen your growth actually. Last 2 years it was somewhere in mid-single digits. This year it
Yeah. Yeah, the last point you touched on is important because the growth is not in any particular business group, it's across. And that's why I said what I said, where I think the strategies that we decided to execute are, I think, playing out, particularly around commercial excellence. We're starting to see that. The NPI, we're still early in the new products. Hopefully, we'll see those start to play out in the next 2, 3, 4 years. Those obviously are longer run plays. And then localization is the other one that will start playing out in the next 3 to 4 years. It'll start now, but it'll come to fruition completely in 3 to 4 years. So really, it's a combination of execution and supportive markets. Underlying markets have to support, obviously.
If I can ask
the same
question.
Please.
We have also seen a margin improvement as well.
Yeah, I mean, clearly we are exposed to any volatility in FX. That's clear. We have an import dependency, and so that's affecting that. To that extent, we are exposed. I think a lot of people, everyone's exposed in that sense, right? So we'll see how the FX settles. I mean, I'm hopeful it adjusts. In the meantime, we are taking all actions. I talked about localization as one of our strategies. Part of the reason is to mitigate the impact of FX. But of course, it's not something that happens overnight. It'll take a little bit of time. What offsets some of that is sort of as we scale up, you know, we obviously get leverage, and that helps us automatically it mitigates some of the impact of these kind of factors.
How long can it take to offset that forex?
It depends on the business. Like a consumer business can be very quick. Obviously, an automotive kind of business, it's a much longer cycle. So the industrial businesses, abrasive adhesives, is somewhere in the middle, right? B2B, if it's a consumable, I can drive the price increase, but obviously there might be an impact on volumes, right? So we have to be a little more sort of measured there. So that's sort of the range, right? Sorry, there was a question in the back. Sorry, I'll come.
There's a question on your pricing strategy.
Yeah.
Premium, inline, or discounting. So your top 5 categories, how much is the premium, inline, or you discounting? And if there is, you have a premium pricing, how much is the extent of premium compared to the competition?
Yeah, maybe I'll just take
that. Please.
So if you look at our pricing, by and large, it's all over. Even in general use categories, our pricing is at a premium to competition. So we're rarely the lowest cost supplier in the market.
How much is the premium?
It can vary anywhere from 7-8% to up to 20%.
Okay,
ballpark. There could be some extraordinary situations also, but broadly this is the range. Okay, and in some cases you don't have a direct one-to-one competition, or the product that we supply may solve the same issue for the customer, but the product may be slightly different, like a adhesive tape, like in a very high bond adhesive tape replacing other mechanical forms of fastening, for example. Okay, so it's very difficult to, then it's not so much the product cost, but what is the total cost of the application. That is how the customers will eventually evaluate it. They'll evaluate other factors like productivity in the manufacturing process. So it does not become a product to product price comparison, but the applied cost of that application. So that is the, generally we are at a premium to the market. And what was the other part of your question?
How much premium?
Yeah, that we talked about that.
So what are the unique SKUs currently?
I beg your pardon?
SKUs.
So what is...
How many?
Yeah, how many?
20 odd thousand.
It's a little bigger, but moving is about 20,000-25,000.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll just this gentleman. Yeah. Sorry, if you had a question.
No, I think I saw a hand there. And
okay.
No, maybe we'll go there and then come here. We'll come back to your second round.
Yeah.
I'll make some initial comments and then Aseem will add to that. So let me go by business segment that we report, safety and industrial. So in safety and industrial, we see fairly broad-based growth opportunities. You know, if you look at it, you can look at it in two ways: product platforms, abrasives, adhesives, tapes, electrical connectors, jointing kits, terminations, and of course, automotive aftermarket and safety, personal worker safety. So these are the broad, the six or so product platforms. And then they go into different end user markets. All types of manufacturing industries are target segments for us. What we've seen in the past, I mean, I would say 18, 24 months is, we've had broad-based success with our commercial management, or what we internally call commercial excellence, across all of these segments, because the safety and industrial business is made, the makeup of the business customer base is very fragmented and large. Okay? It's not, unlike the automotive business, which is very focused on a few large OEMs and their tier suppliers, the safety and industrial is very broad-based, fragmented, so lends itself even more, it's even more important on how our commercial management processes work. And we've been very successful, which is what has been driving a lot of the growth. We've also seen good opportunities in the whole electrical segment. Electrical is doing very well. We, in the past, we did talk about, for those of you who remember, some headwinds for a brief period of time from the pipe coating business, which is cyclical, linked to oil and gas investments and so on. I mean, you know, you kind of lapped that the history on that. So therefore, you get some nominal tailwinds from history being beneficial to us. But otherwise, electrical markets as a whole has been a good, strong growth. And then within the general industrial manufacturing, you know, with the investments being made in metro rail, etc., all of those have cascading effects on, you know, the segments that supply into those industries. The other area is, again, different kinds of panel manufacturing, again, linked to growth in electrical data centers, etc. Panel manufacturing, etc., provides opportunities for us in different industrial products. So I think it's a very broad-based set of, you know, customer opportunities in safety and industrial. Transportation electronics is almost more heavily weighted on the automotive OEM business and the infrastructure business. Electronics continues to be, you know, a sunrise area. So I would say automotive OEM, our approach has always been, how do we drive content per vehicle? I mean, that's how we approach the business. Try to increase our content per vehicle through the working with the customers as part of their design and design phase. So we are early on into the process. And then once you win content, then it's all it's a matter of how those models perform in the market, and then and therefore it's purely build volumes multiplied by our content. And in infrastructure, I think it's also been quite unique for us, because while road safety is a big part of it, the whole road construction and therefore road safety, an increasing emphasis on safety, which is augurs well for the business. Number two is expansion of, while metros also we have business on the safety and industrial side, rail, metros, airports, all of them provide opportunities for us in the what we call our, in the transportation electronics, one of the segments is transportation safety, as well as our what we call commercial branding. So those areas also have good opportunities for growth. Electronics, we'll take it separately, because I mean, today it's not a big contributor to our sales at all, And it's a function of how quickly the value chain gets localized in India. And we've seen very strong growth for our portfolios in both, in all three channels, general trade, modern trade, and e-commerce, including quick commerce. But obviously, quick com has grown the fastest for us. And the shifts in the channel mix over the last 4 years is, it's really quite significant for us. E-com and quick com have become much larger contributors, and the teams have been quite agile in working with these players and how to, adjust a portfolio, how to work with them in their marketing rhythms, demand gen rhythms, how do we, and some portfolio modifications for that, pack sizes, all of those things. So that's worked very well. I hope that answers some of your. And healthcare, again, the largest contributor to healthcare is in our medical and surgical. That's a hospital business. So hospital business I think what works really well, what has worked very well for us in the hospital business is the sustained investments and effort we've put in into education, training, etc., for different practices or different settings within the hospital, whether it's ICU, whether it's OPD, etc., IR, OR settings, etc., operating room. So I think we run training programs for different stakeholder sets, whether it's nursing, whether it's people who are in the sterilization department and so on. So there is a very very good rhythm of training, education, and really the sales piece is a pull through at the end of it. And it's really critical to have this sustained efforts over a number of years, because this is not something we can turn on in a short cycle in 6 months, 12 months. So this has been something we've been building over the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years now. And we are seeing the benefit of that. Dental is a much smaller business, so it's doing well, but it's a much smaller business.
The second question is the growth leg up that we have seen, especially in the 9 months. Anything to read on the new products which would have been introduced in the last 18, 24 months, just to understand how they would have been?
No, very quick answer, no. I would say a lot of the growth is from our commercial efforts. I mean, new products will obviously contribute, but there is no one hero product I can point to and say that this is what has moved the needle from 6.1% last year to 13.6% for the first three quarters of this year. No. I think we do recognize that there is a lot of growth to be earned, I won't say had, to be earned by our commercial practices and processes. When I say commercial, it's not just sales, it's also a blend of sales, marketing, and application engineering. Because a lot of our products are technical in nature. So it's important to recognize the work that our application engineering teams do in concert with the sales team. But they do spend a lot of time at customers trying to, like automotive, if you talk about spec-in, there is a lot of work done by the application engineers talking to the engineering teams of customers. And so on. Some of the pictures you saw on that one slide on the right-hand side, it was all really technical selling. I think that was a big part. We also recognize that, it will go so far. While there is there's some growth to be earned through commercial practices, eventually commercial excellence has to be a foundational for everything that we do. As we bring in new products, more new products, obviously you need that commercial excellence to be very successful in the marketplace. So the investments in local product development and accelerating the new product introductions will always come with a little bit of a lead time. It's not immediate. It's probably 12, 18 months out. Yeah.
Lastly, this expansion which is happening, could you share some numbers on how much you intend to spend and what's the current utilization and how much expansion capacity does it use?
Yeah, so I mean, the numbers what we've been spending on CapEx is there in our public record, which has been relatively light. At this time, I don't have a specific numbers to tell you, but it will be definitely a 2 to 3x of where we've been. But we are coming off a low base, we recognize that.
Thank you.
Well, can I go to, I think he had his hand up and then we'll come back to you. Yeah. Or is it something
just related to that?
Okay.
What sort of localization can we achieve with this CAPEX?
What localization?
What sort of, to what extent we are at 60% currently?
So let's look at, there are two parts to it. One is capacity.
Right.
Right? I think there was a question, I think one of, embedded in his question was capacity debottlenecking, I think. So, let's say if you look at tape coating as a, it's a one of our foundational manufacturing in equipment. So tape coating, we are probably running at capacity right now, very close to capacity. So that means that we need additional local capacity to augment that. So it may or may not, it's not replacing some of that. So it also depends sometimes some of your traded products, how fast they grow. So if everything grows at 14% or 15%, the mix, the manufacturing mix is roughly about 60%, like Aseem said. So that will change if the manufacturing component of it grows significantly faster than the traded. And I think it will happen, but it will not be dramatic shifts in the mix. It could be about 100 basis points, every year or at best every 18 months. So it's not going to change overnight. The 60 may go up to, if you look at the history also, over the last 6-7 years, I think we were at 54-ish percent, if you go back 5 years or so. And now we've come up to 59. We went up to almost 60, 61, but it's at 59 point something now. So it will be in that range, and it will move a little more slowly now. Yeah.
I think, just to add to that, as we build the new coating, that new shed, once you have that capacity, I believe we will find ways. There's enough needs in the market that it'll fill it up. So it'll continue that 60 will go up, maybe 61, 62, right? We'll push that up. But is it going to 80 tomorrow? No, that's not going to happen. But we will move SKUs over here.
And I think Aseem also spoke about the sourcing intent that we have through best cost country sourcing. So like he already mentioned, even the 60% has a fair amount of import content in that. So we want to see how do we localize some of that in a prioritized manner. So that, it's good all around. I mean, you reduce supply chain risks, you reduce, you have a better, hopefully, like it says, best cost, improved cost position without sacrificing any of the parameters on quality, service, delivery, etc. I'll go to Kamlishi and then come back to you.
In continuation to this question on healthcare business, Solentum, almost we have completed 2 years of agreement, 1.5 to 2 years. The agreement was for 5 years. How confident you are that it will be renewed further?
We really can't comment on that today because it'll be a process working with them. All we can say at this point is, look, we have the results have been very good.
Yeah.
I think it's been quite strong performance over the last 2 years. Like Aseem said, any such transition which happened in April of 2024, we would have anticipated some, any such transition could have had some impact. But I think all credit to both the teams, Solventum for their support and the 3M team for how we've been able to work through this. So the growth is there. It's an attractive market. So we'll see how we take this forward.
Especially with the US FDA agreement, which is proposed to be happening, with zero duty for import of medical things.
Mm.
So you think Solventum's focus will be there in India and we'll continue with the selling and distribution agreement?
So, see, India is an attractive market. But at the same time, you have to see that, it's hard for us to speak on Solventum's priorities because they have
the you're getting? Because only 3 years are
in. We can only comment based on the support we've been getting thus far over the last 2 years of the agreement, and it's been very good. It's been very good, without which the growth would not have happened. Because, both parties have to come to the party. Yeah.
So this statement which was there, 3M India's electronic division, 5X growth. In 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is related to 3M India listed entity or it is?
No, there is no other. It's
only
listed.
So this figure stand by like?
Yeah, it is coming off a very small base. So we see there's a lot of expansion investment happening in the electronics manufacturing space and we believe we are well positioned. And so therefore, we've also made investments, as you may be aware, in a lab capability, demo centers, engineering capability, etc. So, know, as we see these investments coming in, we believe we should be well positioned to capture
that. So any imports from US or from the parent, it is through the listed entity only for India?
Yes. Well, in most instances, right? And certainly electronics, what you would expect to see going from a product standpoint, adhesives, abrasives, some tapes, etc., right? Which typically we would bring in, convert here, or in some instances bring the finished product.
Even for mobile phones or anything that is there in India, it is to the listed entity, right?
Correct. I think the only other thing outside the listed entity we have is the GCC, right? The Global Capability Center. Yeah. But that is a completely different operation.
Yeah, that's services.
We got about 450 odd people. But that's got, that is very different model, and it's outside the list book.
Thank you.
Okay, you and then we'll go there.
A question on the manufacturing front. So, your experience, basically, if you want to take this, if you look at 2009, you were in Shanghai before you came to India, and China is almost 10% of 3M sales, India is less than 2% today. Are you seeing, and manufacturing in India is 16-17%, and the focus of 3M is to make this 25%. Are you seeing various buckets of industrial and manufacturing growth, which is accelerating, and that's where the confidence, you're living at an high. If I may, you're living at a high, and this organization.
You're living what?
At a high. High point of sales. If I may, at this point in time, do you see market opportunity coming from your China experience? India is at that point where the J curve has started, and when we see 3M presence across various verticals, which can help accelerate the growth.
First of all, I want to qualify your comment a little bit. I'm not leaving at a high. The high and the peaks are yet to come. I think they're all in front of us. Do I know all the details about that? No. I'm obviously optimistic, very optimistic with what we've seen. So I'm not relinquishing it because I think I'm seeing the local high or anything. Just a little caveat. I think you look at the, I've said this before, no, it's not a new comment I'm making. If you look at the China versus India, even in the context of 3M, just look at the scope of the automotive business and the electronics business in China. Electronics, we can say, is practically zero in India. Automotive, four odd million we produce, they are probably 6x or so, somewhere in the, of that, that is the kind of magnitude of difference. So these two very large segments make up for a big part of the difference in scale. So China is about, it's published numbers. If you look at our 10K, you'll see it 2.9. China, 3M China is $2.9 billion in sales last year, 2025 calendar year. We are running at our run rate, you see that. So there is a big difference. Yes, almost, let's say, 4.5-ish kind of a difference. But then if you look at some key markets which are very different, and then it's not only those markets of electronics and automotive, then the entire value chain, tier one suppliers, tier two, the ODMs, everything. So I think that's a big part of the difference, and the scale of industrialization is also obviously different. Now, will that for 13 or 14, 15% increase? I definitely think it will. I do think. And for it to increase, I think when we have some of these large anchor in companies in certain segments, and then you have to have the localization. Look at how the automotive industry spawned an entire, such a huge industry in India. Now you go back to the early 1980s when Maruti was set up. That triggered a lot of other subsequent investments and so on. It's taken, you can start your timeline from anywhere in the 80s or whatever you choose, but it's taken 40 years or so to where we are today. I don't anticipate many of the rising industries to take this length of time. Time compression is going to happen quite significantly. Electronics has been, the localization of the value chain in smartphone manufacturing especially, I think it's starting to pick up a little bit again after some pause in between. It's starting to pick up. Local value addition is still relatively low, which means it's great opportunity ahead of us. We're making some 150 million or so units a year. So I think we will, maybe I got the number wrong, can't recall. But I think the...
Mobile,
somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah. So I think we have the opportunity to build that out. In addition to electronics, you know, things like data centers, etc. It also depends on how the server and local manufacturing of servers, etc. happen. Because there are incentives for all of those to incentivize local manufacturing of that. Even within automotive, you look at display systems. I mean, display is such a big part of automotive these days. You know, the interiors, the cockpits of the automobile. You look at it, the display is a big part. A lot of display is still imported, but I think we are seeing early signs that there'll be some action to localize them. But it's hard for us to predict exactly when it will happen. What we do is try and stay as close as we can to all the customers through the OEM partners, through their connections and so on, and our global connections with these customers. We stay in touch with them to understand how it evolves. And then things like, I mean, all the other areas, metro, rail, etc., will continue to step up manufacturing. Not to mention, now I'm not even going into where the green energy could take us, because that's another whole new opportunity. We don't know.
What percentage of global product in four categories are sold in India, and how much more can come from the global panel? So there may be something which has been sold globally and not there.
Most of our global portfolio is available here. There are some which are available, but there isn't a market. For example, there's a big business in the US around roofing granules, which is unique to US because of the nature of their housing industry, which is not relevant here. But otherwise, there's no significant portfolio that's not available.
Yeah, I would only say, in addition to what Aseem said, which is very, very unique and niche, in the mainstream, I mean, I use the word mainstream, what are things that we sell elsewhere, especially global or China, that we don't do much of here? One is home improvement, okay, which is where we are focused on right now, because our portfolio is almost very heavily weighted to home cleaning, that is Scotch-Brite, brooms, mops, etc. But we don't have much of a play in home improvement yet. That is one we are focused on, and which is more a here and now type of a, you're not waiting for somebody, like in electronics, you're dependent on, you have dependencies there. Here it's internal dependencies. The second one is, of course, electronics. We've already talked about that. That is, the dependencies are there. So, broadly, I think these are some of the areas where we don't.
Just one last way, if I may. Global change in mandate, does it have any implication for us? Global, the focus of growth and innovation and what they have spoken, is there any reporting structure that we report directly to
Global?
Anything change?
No, I think Aseem and I report to the global CFO. So, and that, no change in that. I think you've been very patient, yeah. No, no, it's you.
So, I just had two questions. One is on the R&D pipeline. What is the current R&D pipeline like? Any new product launches which are excited about? And the second question is on, I think, as I recollect, we have a target of achieving 30% of the revenue from
Yeah, so, you know, this is a number that our CEO, Bill Brown, has talked about extensively. I'll start there and I'll come to India. You know, we would like to see about 30%. That's historically been 3M's goal, to see about 30% of our revenues come from new products. New products are anything that's four years old. It used to be four, now it's five. You know, and globally, we are not where we want to be. We are sort of around 8-10%, right, globally. As we look at India, we are in a similar boat, right? And we think sort of what's happening globally is something that applies to India as well. And so to that extent, you know, there is a big focus on NPI. And that's why that's one of our strategies, right? If you saw the second one in my thing after commercial excellence was local lab capability, NPI, etc. So we have a pipeline built out of India-specific NPIs, as well as global NPIs that can be sold in India. Those also count, right? But also India-specific NPIs, which can help fuel our growth, right? Those are not numbers that we're sharing sort of very broadly, but what you can expect is that focus will remain. And I think next about 2 years out to 5 years out, a lot of that will start translating into our growth. Sorry, you had a second question, or did we address your question? Sorry.
I don't remember. Maybe I will go here and then there and then.
I'm going to let Ramesh do the directing so he can be the bad cop.
This is just one question on 3M is predominantly an importer of products. I mean, if you compare what import content is versus what you manufacture locally, it's been that way now for decades. You know, we've been owning the stock for 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And do you see any reset or significant regime change has happened because of these tariffs between America and India, the free trade agreement? So can we sort of import anything we want for, you know, very, even for lower volumes, or do we have to, we still need a certain size for the Indian market to make it viable to?
Yeah, so let me address the tariff bit and then I'll maybe expand and then of course Ramesh, please fill out. So with regards to Trump's tariffs from last year, we were not affected very much because they were mostly for exports, right? I mean, or imports into the US, right? And we don't really export from India into the US very much. So directly, we weren't affected. To some extent, indirectly, we were affected because our customers' exports to US were hampered, right? But it wasn't very material. Now, I think the second question around whether tariffs affect how we think about these imports. No? Actually, you know, whether we sort of get a finished product into India or we get a, you know, jumbo and then convert it here, or whether we make the whole thing in India, is really a function of the market size in India and less on the tax or tariff structures. They're just the sheer economics of, you know, if the market here is very small for a certain product, it just doesn't make economic sense to do the whole setup qualification for those volumes. It's better to just import the finished product from wherever it's made. Oftentimes it's Asia, sometimes US, sometimes Europe or Brazil. So that's how I see it. Right?
Yeah, I think it's covered it. And then in certain cases, like in personal safety, etc., there are regulated products. Okay, they go through different kinds of certification. US, European certification. So you want to have a fairly standardized portfolio. So those would, some of the, not to say that all safety products will be imported, but some portions of it will continue to be imported because as a global company, you want to be careful about portfolios meeting all the regulatory standards in various jurisdictions around the world. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, please. After him.
Historically, you mentioned that our content per mobile would be 2-3% of the cost. Last year, the mobile production in India was roughly say 5 lakh crores. So, assuming this market opens up and your ecosystem gets developed in the next 2-3 years, should we expect that ballpark addressable opportunity for you to create 10,000 crore for games and expenses for the mobile?
So, maybe I'll just take the first part of it and then.
Yeah.
So what we've said always is we pointed to our global business size that 3M has in electronics. It's a matter of public record, 10K filing, if you look at it for 2025, $3 billion is what 3M has reported that we've sold into electronics globally. And roughly 50-50, the ratio might have changed a little bit, but roughly 50-50 between consumer electronics and semiconductors. Okay, and now we can do the math on indexation and all that. Will it be the same ratio in India? It's a function of the which models come in, what is the level of specification you get. Because even if you take automotive as an example, we don't get the same level of penetration in all the models. In some models, we may have very, very low penetration. When I say penetration, I mean content per vehicle. In some models, you have more attractive levels of content. So what we report as an average, or not, we track as an average internally is across the total volume build. And then by model, you track it. Now, then it depends on what the model. Similarly, in electronics, it depends what models are eventually manufactured. Today, we have a view on what's being manufactured. and then the content on that. Okay, so you can index it based on a global number and to the whether it's the value of the output or number of devices built. I mean, we can index it different ways. Yeah, but that gives you a rough idea. This ecosystem will shift very quickly. We operate from the point that the competitors will all be here. I mean, it doesn't matter what their size is today, or competitors will be there. It would be a mistake if we were to assume otherwise. Okay. One, they'll be there. And two is, what is also important is we have to keep our peripheral vision, so to speak, open even to identify new competitors who may come up, because this is a dynamic market. You will have existing players for sure will come in, and there could be new competitors coming in as well.
So coming back to his question, sir, as a result of this recent FTA with US, how does it change the business dynamics for us? Because I think 1/3 of the raw material or imports are from the US. So just to get some sense,
I think my only answer I can share, and let Asim also add to it, is it's too early for us to tell. I mean, the FTA free trade agreements framework is there. The details we'll have to see. Okay. But at a high level, I don't think it may make a huge difference to us, because it's not that our products are on the negative list or something like that, or if they are not being subject to very different levels of import duties at this point in time, coming in from the US, importing from the US into India. So I'm not, so whether if some products go off duty, etc., I mean, we'll have to look at it when we get more clarity. But at this time, I don't see anything significant.
Yeah, I think it's too early.
Yeah, it's too early to estimate it.
It's the framework of an initial agreement, right? It's one of those things, so we have to see where it ends up.
Yeah, sure. And in the past, we had highlighted that on the electronic side, we have not reached that inflection point wherein we could go and, localize more in India. Where are we currently, out there?
Yeah, that inflection point is really dependent on our customers localizing. Because, we have the capability, let's say the potential customers we would supply to. So we are not a tier one, we are not a tier two, we could be a tier three or a tier four as a material supplier. So it depends on at what point do our customers localize and then ramp up. Then accordingly, we have the ability to ramp up pretty quickly. So I would say it's still out in the future.
And electronics is part of this CapEx. Any localization on the electronic side is part of the
nominal.
Nominal.
Yeah. The point is, when you have a tape coating facility, it can make multiple products on the coating. So right now we go with what is our current portfolio of products, because that is where we see growth and we need capacity for growth. And so therefore I think a lot of the new capacity, if not 100%, obviously a big part of it will be met by growth in the existing portfolio.
So the gross margins earlier in 2019 was 47%.
Sorry?
Gross margins. Mm-hmm. Now it is 42%. You have reduced a lot of expenses, costs and all. Still we are maintaining the EBITDA around 18% to 18%. So when can we go back 47% gross margins?
I think
Asim will.
Well left.
Because our EBITDA is 18%, whereas parent is 24%. So this difference is exactly the same.
Yeah, so I think, the days when we were 47%, I think we were a smaller entity, right? And as we continue to grow, obviously we will be margin focused. But what's important is that we also find avenues for growth and sizable avenues for growth. Right. And so there, to the extent we can get price, of course we will. But we also recognize that there are places which may not be, in the past perhaps we were in niches, and maybe now we're looking at bigger drivers of growth as we grow. So our focus is on growth, on PAT, obviously, and we'll continue to do that. But I guess I'm not necessarily looking at staying in the niches, right? Because I think 3M and India are at a place where we have to grow a little faster.
So, I mean, the fact is we do have, we've said this many times in the past, we have import dependencies and we don't see that going away. We will mitigate, you know, in pockets, in areas, in key priority portfolios through local manufacturing, it's local outsourcing, contract manufacturing, all of the above. But import dependencies will continue to be there. And therefore, you're exposed to, there is a vulnerability to FX and those things.
Yeah.
So I think we'll, could, you know, that 5%. And also, consequently, we also don't have the same level of CapEx investments.
And with a product portfolio as wide as ours, you know, we will always, it would never make sense to localize entirely, right? So we can drive it up, which we will. But we will have a global network of factories that supply us for sure. Are we at time?
Any final impact question. Of commodities?
Can you speak up a little?
Any impact of commodities? You know, we have seen commodities.
You mean in the last 10 days?
In last over 10 days and a month.
I mean, clearly there has been spikes in. Clearly some spikes we are seeing, no question about it. But I think it's just, we are being watched, we are continuing to watch it, track it, but not enough data to bring everything together and make any kind of a projection or share anything at this time.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your interest, and look forward to keeping the conversation.